Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5
and 92.5. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We have got to get this D'Amico. I'm sure every other station is talking about it. The mindset near the goal line. And I mean,
so I'm going to be honest with you. I never saw in my email any of the press conference transcripts. Never popped up in mine. I think they may have taken me off the list.
I got it.
I may have got kicked off the list after yesterday.
Well, no, I don't think so.
I didn't get it. I'm looking right here. It didn't show up in mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe you did get kicked off. Maybe they said, you know, okay, we're tired of him. Okay?
Maybe we're tired.
Maybe
me complaining about short yardage play calling is a problem. I need to get on board.
You're not alone. I think the question was asked of him yesterday. I'm not alone. You're not alone, I don't believe. So here is D'Amico. When asked about short yardage and their inability to score from inside the 2 yard line, here is D'Amico.
We throw the ball on the goal line. We don't get in. Hey, you guys should run the ball more. We run the ball. We don't get in. Hey, you should throw. So there's always a wish I would have, what I would have done different. Look back at it, do it different. Look. I approach the game from a physical mindset of, hey, if you're on the 1 yard line and we got to knock somebody back to get in the end zone, that's how I approach it. Like, and that's how I always approach it. And then when we do get in the end zone on the fourth down, we got a false start. So it's like we got in the end zone. CJ got in, and points are taken off the board because we have a false start.
No,
we're not locked in on the snap. So it's just so many things there that goes in. Yeah, there's a physical mindset. That's what this game is built on. You have to have that mindset, and you should want to be in those situations where, hey, we got to knock somebody off the ball to go get 1 yard.
Mm-mm.
If you don't have that mindset, then yeah, you're probably not going to get in.
Now, that answer – actually, that answer to the question I had on Sunday, is this coming directly from the head coach because it's mentality? And he just told you it is. He just told you it is. And this is not unusual for a coach to say we need to get short yardage. Okay. But when
you don't on first and second down, then what?
D'Amico, this is not about – see, this is the mistake he's making. Well, when you say – and this is a classic coach thing. Oh, you know, first we try to throw it, and then you say, no, you need to run it. And then we try to run it.
Again,
it doesn't work.
It's our fault.
We can't win for losing. No.
Questions.
No, what we're upset about is the design of the play and the mentality of how are we going to attack this defense. That's what I'm upset about. I don't care if you throw or pass. Get something designed that gives you an advantage somewhere on the field. Running into an A-gap with a loaded front with an offensive line that doesn't move people off the ball and hasn't the entire year is not – That's not an advantageous situation. So D'Amico's trying to make it. Well, we throw, we're bad. If we run, we're bad.
I know.
You know, we can't win. No.
It's the media's fault.
No. What is being called and what's being executed is not good.
No.
It's not good. So figure that out. That's my problem. I don't care if you throw, run. I just care you get in and get 4 additional points. Don't just sit there with 3. Or in some cases, it turns into 0.
So we are 8 games in. 8 games in. Do you know how many touchdowns the Texans have scored from inside the 2 yard line?
Oh, my God. 1?
0.
None. Okay. Yeah.
0 for 10. So the Colts have 11. The Bills have 11. Cowboys, 10. Rams, Chiefs, 8. Now, surprisingly, Philadelphia only has 5 with the push. The Texans have 0. 0 touchdowns. from inside the 2 yard line.
Muy
two yards or less.
Muy interesante.
The Saints have won. The Raiders have won. The Dolphins have won.
A lot of bad football teams you're announcing.
They're all. Atlanta has two. The Vikings have two. Patriots have three. They're good.
So for a coach who seems pretty aware of how media narratives go, he also seems
More so than I would have ever
seems
expected.
Pretty sensitive to them. He acknowledges what happens. If we pass, we're bad. And when we don't score, if we run, yeah. Because people are sick of watching you guys fail down inside the 5 yard line. That's all it is.
It's a failure.
No one cares how it gets done, honestly. Just get it done. And you have found no answers through half the season.
Why is he in his feelings all the time now?
Because things have switched according. Well, just how it goes. You had great success early. Surprising success in 2023.
Great success early.
In 2024, you backed it up with another division title. Now, you're a bad football team. So people tend to talk about bad football teams in a way that a coach probably wouldn't like. And he's just getting the other end of it right now. That's all. When you play bad, people talk about you.
Maybe he should stop. I don't know what he's listening to. What is he listening to? Is he listening to 610?
It can't be.
Well, they're getting on him. They're getting on him. I would imagine he probably is. And maybe it's us, or I don't know. I don't know. What's the morning show on 790 now? I have no idea. But if D'Amico's in early, where is he hearing this stuff? Who's telling him this stuff? But I guess it might just come from the questions. I remember Dusty,
maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, Dusty had an issue.
I think it's more the questions.
The questions, yeah. But he just immediately, ask me this question, so everybody's so everybody wants to be fired.
A lot of times, like Charlie, I don't know if this is still a thing, but like Charlie Cashley used to get all the articles written about the Texans. There's a whole, they compile, and I think this is actually still going on. I think this is still going on where they want to know what's being said. So organizations a lot of time will have somebody that compiles all the local media. What are the comments being said? And I don't know, now maybe they do podcasts or whatever, who knows, but... I do think they want to hear national and local media and what the current narrative is, just so they can pretend they don't know, but they know. They always know. Have you ever noticed that? They always know.
Yeah.
And it's not a surprise. The only guy who never knew was Dom Capers. Dom literally had
no idea.
Because
Dom didn't know.
He didn't know we were in war. Remember, like, we were in the middle of the Gulf War, and I think Dom's like, are we?
He's like, what?
So who
what?
Are we fighting with? Oh,
you literally did not know.
You're literally up there just doing, with the football.
At the time, I think it was.
It was something else. There was something he didn't know.
Well, that show, Survivor, it was like sweeping the nation. Oh, everybody's talking about Survivor, and he was like, what is that? I don't know. I was like, wow, coach. I mean, it's the most popular, never mind. He was oblivious. That's all that dude did was work. He went out on a Saturday night or Friday night, every Friday night to Maggiano's with he and his wife, and that was it. That was the extent of their life. But that dude was dedicated to football. Apparently, I mean, this thin skin D'Amico is really it's unbelievable. You got nothing but love here. Mm-hmm. I mean, but for the most part. Now you guys when you're not good, people are going to ask you the questions about what you are deficient at. And you're deficient at these things. How are you going to fix... listen, how about a simple bootleg? How about...
Oh, so that would have worked, John. The bootleg, everyone crashes in. A naked bootleg would have 100% worked. You're 100% right. A naked bootleg would have been a touchdown for CJ easily.
But that's not that... It's not like... Listen... We're not Kaylee. We don't know as much football as we don't know as much as the week. But where is the? There's no creativity. Why is he so? What is going on? Why is he shrinking? And he came from the Rams, one of the most creative teams in the league. What is going on? It just seems like we can't do anything but just run up the gut. That's it. It's incredible to me, especially with their backgrounds, and look, Are they oblivious to this offensive line? Do they?
No.
Well, we're just going to.
They're not oblivious, but it's D'Amico's so far into his us versus them narrative that he just, like, he's gotten really defensive. This is, I didn't see this turn coming where everything is now, you're against us. All of his language dating back to the Joe Mixon thing and with Ian Rappaport just making a standard, what it ended up being an extremely accurate report. He's been in a us versus them mentality since camp, and so maybe it drifted into last year as well. But and maybe it has to do with some of the Bobby Slowick stuff. I don't know. But did we have Bobby Slowick and Bob Slowick at the same time?
No, Channel Slovak. 13?
Slovak. That's right. That's Bobby Slowick and Bob Slovak. There we go. Right. But you remember it dated all the way back to. It goes all the way back that I can recall this summer. Or this fall in camp with Joe Mixon stuff, he got really defensive. And now it truly is us versus the world. It's us versus the world. So now he's like, everything he sees is through the lens of, oh, we can't do anything right. You guys always write negative stuff. Yeah. I mean, nothing pot. And you got guys saying, wait, what? You think we're always negative? You don't read any of the positive. Oh, you can't throw the ball. You guys complain. We run the ball. You guys complain. Well, like, D'Amico, that's not what this is.
When you kick
it's a failure mechanism.
And have another game with zero touchdowns.
By the way, this has been going on for 3 years with you now.
And
with
you're
your
0 for 10 inside the 2-yard line. 0 for 10. I mean, well, coach, well, let's talk about a lot of less missed tackles this week, coach. Hey, you guys sure hung in till the very end. Boy, that was some kind of an effort. Your guys never gave up, coach. That was great. What did you want us to ask him? What exactly would he like?
Right.
I mean, you can't score within the 2-yard line.
You have.
And other teams seem to be doing that for
you
some
have
reason.
The best defense in football, yards and points, at least going into last week. I don't imagine that changed. And you're 3-5.
Yeah.
The question should be about your inability to score touchdowns.
That's it.
Inside the 5-yard line. Why would there be any? That should be the only focus of the team, really. Can we find a way to score touchdowns? Maybe the record would be flipped if we could score touchdowns inside the 5-yard line.
And the killer is he was bragging about CJ, who I don't think got in. He was bragging on fourth down.
Somebody hit me up in the
from the two.
So I heard from somebody who. Well, I don't want to give him away, but somebody who was looking at that, like, I think the team knows he didn't get in, too. I'll just say that. I don't think the CJ didn't get in.
He didn't get in.
CJ didn't get in. They know he didn't get in.
Yeah.
So, you know, my counter to that would be, I think the problem is not with you run or you throw. It has been some of the play calling that seems to be going into the strength of the defense as opposed to putting
and
them on the defensive.
Not just their
and
strength,
your weakness.
Your
yeah.
weakness.
You're literally going weakness on strength and losing regularly on short yardage fourth
down. All the time when it
yeah.
down
yeah.
close.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the time they lose.
Well, but I don't want to take away from – who was it? It wasn't Tampa Bay. Who was it when they couldn't get third or fourth down from short yardage on their side of the ball, like the 40-something yard line? Earlier this year, there was a game where they tried to hand it off twice and couldn't get a short yardage first down. Yeah. On just it wasn't in a red zone and they ran it twice with the same play.
Same thing. Yeah.
It was the same run play. Like, dude, I mean, a naked bootleg. If that doesn't work, then hey, shout out to the defense for being heads up. Honestly, there's certain things that,
and then flare a tight end into the flat.
I see speed
and give him a run a pass.
I see those speed outs where you bring a man in motion and you got a 2-by-1 formation and sometimes you bring the tight end, sometimes it's a wide receiver and they basically act as interference and you run that speed out underneath them. And for the 3-yard touchdown, that works. Or what about the charger play that they used to run for Austin Ekeler all the time where you fake a handoff one way and then they're already flying into the flat and you throw to the running back. Like there's so much stuff.
A nice little pop pass to Jalen. Oh, he's not in the game. Never mind.
Boy, there are people who think Jalen there. I've noticed that Twitter believes Jalen Knoll would be responsible for at least 17 points a game if he played. Like, he is literally, you're Jalen Knoll. 10 more snaps for Jalen Knoll, and these games are in the bag. Like, I want to see him play, but your Christian Kirk is, I'm telling you, D'Amico's going with the vets. You know that, right?
Well, Christian Kirk's making big plays. I mean,
Christian Kirk actually wasn't terrible the other day.
No, he caught a couple of passes, but he's not making any difference. I mean,
well,
there's no explosive play. Where's the explosive
play? Yeah, but a lot of that was on Davis.
At least Jalen Noel had an explosive play this year.
Well, a lot of that was on Davis Mills, too. That should have been an explosive catch deep down the middle. Might have led to a win. And
true.
Davis Mills airmailed that sucker, and he was open.
Hey, YouTube TV customers, you got to get the sports you love on ESPN back. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. All right, when we come back, don't you go anywhere. We've got let's get back to Rockets basketball on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Kane is in the building.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we got Joe Fortenbaugh. This is going to be a quick segment. Mm-hmm. We've got to get a couple of calls in here.
Let's go.
But real quickly, did you see Steve Ballmer is being sued?
I saw that.
By the investors in Katona. Mm-hmm. They say he was secretly funneling millions of dollars to Kawhi Leonard.
Mm.
And if proven true,
we got some snakes in the grass.
How about if proven true, he's probably not going to be an owner, or he's going to get.
Well, he'll get a fine. Then won't take his team.
Oh.
He's going to get you. You get a team. You're not taking a team away from a billionaire. That's bad business.
Well, that's how he got it. But
yeah,
okay.
Well, that was. You want to compare the two? One is being playing fast and loose. I mean, we already saw it happen with Minnesota with Joe Smith. So,
And the other thing is. Pablo Torre is on Ty Lue hard.
He's on Ty Lue now?
Well, Ty Lue was mentioned to be at those games.
He was at poker. He was
games. Ty. Uh-oh.
Yeah. They were on Chauncey and Damon Jones were on Ty Lue's staff. They're best of friends. He was at games. He was seen everywhere. He was seen in Vegas with them. He's intimating that Ty Lue is the next domino to fall.
Mm. I wonder, is he the one that got on Antonio Gates, too? He did, right? This is why I think that was Pablo Torre, too. Well, Joe Fortenbaugh will join. Joe's usually giving out, and Joe can handicap now. He gives out some good picks. But we're going to talk with Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN about all the, because there is a ton of scandals going on that people may not even remember or know about.
I don't, I'll tell you two people, you don't want Chris Hansen or Pablo Torre calling you.
Pablo has really developed a name for himself as being a ball breaker.
Holy crap.
Good Lord. Just in the last, 6 months.
It's incredible.
Y'all shouldn't have never fired him from ESPN.
Who's up, Larry? Yeah. All right, Larry, what's up?
What's going on, John Lance?
Hey! I know you can't be happy. You can't be happy.
You know I'm not happy, LZ, but I have to lift my personal 97.5 ban from calling because you boys didn't invite me back to that fantasy football draft, and I didn't get no damn pizza this year. I thought I did a good job last year as the auctioneer, and I was looking forward to that pizza.
Oh,
man,
that's right. Larry was the auctioneer. Remember, John, last year when Larry was at –
that's not a 97.5 thing.
Yeah,
Larry.
That's not 97.5. That one's been going on for 27 years.
That's all the stations.
Yeah.
I know, but all my boys was in there. You, John.
Sean. Wex was in there, yeah.
Man, I was like, man, I missed that pizza, but now I'm over it now. Let me get to some things real quick. Hey, y'all was wondering about why the Texans are having the issues they're having. Look, Nick Caley is that dude that still wears his two socks when he's going to smash. Because, see, they trying to figure out exactly how to get some grip that he ain't going to be able to even get. He continuously runs this ball up the middle of the hole because he only has a two-inch mindset. And when you only have a two-inch mindset, that doesn't allow you to be creative. This jackass has decided he was going to do two fullback dives from the 1 yard line with Brittany Brooks instead of doing a naked boot or doing a rollout or just handing the ball off out of the backfield to Noel or whoever. Nick Caley is somebody that I am still not wrapping my brain around why D'Amico is allowing this dude to do this when they have not scored a touchdown from inside the 5-yard line on a run play yet that I can remember. And here's my problem that's going back with D'Amico. And I love my coach. He ain't going nowhere. So anybody that think he is, you can get over that. But here's my problem with D'Amico and his sensitivity now. Y'all was wondering who he's hearing it from. He's hearing it from me, damn it. Because I'm telling his ass the same thing every week. You are messing off a Super Bowl caliber football team with a defense that is unstoppable, with an offense that when I was a running back at Fondren Middle School, we could play hotball in the courtyard and I can walk in from the 1 yard line. This is not that complicated, man. If Nick Taylor can't figure out how to get these dudes into the end zone and Bobby Slowick could, what the hell are we doing over there on Kirby? But I'll tell you this, LZ, it ain't going to get no better until they figure out real quick that if they miss this season off, D'Amico going to have more problems than he used to have because he's going to be needing another offensive coordinator because the Natives are going to get restless. LZ, before I let you go, I got to get you on this. You know I'm down with them Rockets. Them boys got a big lineup over there, and them boys look like they're going to be balling because I've always been a KD fan because he likes Jordan and Hall.
Oh, there it is. I always try to time it. I can never time it. All right, we got a break. We got a lot. There's a lot Larry had to say. We got Joe Fortenbaugh coming up next, so we got a tight schedule here. So appreciate the call, Larry, and all of it's pretty
Joe
much.
Joe Fortenbaugh, we're talking gambling next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking Texas Card House. It's coming up in less than a week. It starts on the 10th. It is the Trailblazer Poker 2 season, Poker Tour Season 2. It's up, over $1 million is going to be up for grabs in spring. Spring Cypress in 45. Beautiful location, giant parking lot, no worries, clean facility, safe facility. Cops on hand. You're going to get wanded when you go in. A bar that's open till 2 a.m. You can. There's cash games, but the big deal coming up in less than a week now, November 10th, Monday, they're going to start the Trailblazer 2 series in which $1.1 million or more. It could be more because if a bunch of people come, it's going to be. But it's at least 1.1. Guaranteed. At Texas Card House. So if you're a player, I mean, you can get into these things. The buy-in is $400, $365, $500 buy-in, $250 buy-in. It got a buy-in for you, $200, $200 satellites. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that you can get into this, into the big event, which is a $500,000 event. That's what it's going to finish up with. Look, it's the place to play. You got the Green Ridge and Westheimer location. You got the Spring location, but it doesn't get any bigger as far as poker goes. Cash tournament doesn't get any better than Texas Card House. Go to texascardhouse.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, Joe Fortenbaugh is joining us here. ESPN Bet Live. Usually in Houston on around 5:30 during the week, and you can catch him and the great crew taking care of business on ESPN Bet Live and follow him on Twitter and get his picks, get Joe's picks every week.
Hey, John, little known fact about Joe Fortenbaugh. I was offered a radio job at a radio station in San Francisco back in 2014. I almost took it. At last minute, I kind of said no, stayed over at 790 where I was. And shortly thereafter, it was like one little iteration of a show that didn't last a long time. And then it was Lorenzo Neal and Joe Fortenbaugh. I can't remember who the third person was, but Joe ended up taking over that job. And I've been a big admirer of Joe since he worked at the National Football Post, does a terrific job of handicapping games on ESPN Bet. And so wanted to get Joe on here. Joe's been a friend for a while. However, this is not about your picks, Joe, although we might delve into that as well. This is about what's going on, and especially as it pertains to prop markets, because I just did a quick search. I just threw it in the AI, like, show me every betting scandal there's been over the last year. And I was shocked, like, how many college basketball and college football, but especially college basketball, unusual betting patterns were flagged and guys were ended up being suspended or kicked off the team permanently for betting on themselves. How bad right now, and you can discuss the UFC, the brand new one that came out with the UFC, how bad is it going to get moving forward for for some of these major sports entities?
Well, first off, gentlemen, excuse me, it is a pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on. Lance, you and I go way back, so it always means a lot to get a chance to catch up with you, and I appreciate the kind words as well off the top. Okay, so you're right. There's a lot with this going on right now across a variety of sports. We can dive into UFC, but I think this is going to continue until these players come to the realization that you cannot get away with this. You just can't. It's impossible. And here's what I mean by that. Most of what you're seeing, especially in basketball, is the idea that, hey, I'm going to check into a game, I'm going to play a little bit, I'm going to get injured, I'm going to check out, and all my unders will end up cashing. Because if a guy doesn't play, the bets are no action. Back in the day, we had this mindset that a fix was essentially a group of guys working together to play really poorly in a game. Like, if you watch the documentary on Arizona State and Benny Stillman from back in the day, it was like, just play poor enough to stay outside the point spread, right? Like, that's all you needed to do. Now, they figured it out because it was mostly in tennis. Go back and look at the 2016 scandal with tennis. You would have competitors in lower-level events, early rounds, who would go out there for a match. It might be a women's match, and the female in question, she'd win the first set. She's up 1-0. She comes out in the second set. Maybe she wins the game. All of a sudden, her back tightens up. She withdraws. Boom. The people who bet the other competitor win. So now it's this mindset of, well, we just need to get hurt and check out of the game. The reason why you're going to get caught doing this is not because people are going to run an MRI on you and see that you're okay. It's that so much money is going to be bet on your unders relative to what's normally bet. It's going to raise a red flag. People are going to look into what's happening, and then they're going to see you checked out of the game with an injury, and they're going to put two and two together. It's really that obvious. If a standard night, and I'll use the name Joel Embiid, not because I'm accusing him of anything. I'm a Sixers fan. Embiid plays tonight. I like him to go over 17.5 points against the Bulls, so there's a bonus bet for you as well. If Embiid takes $10,000 worth of money every night on his props, and then all of a sudden $250,000 comes in one night, and it's all on his unders, and then he checks out 11 minutes into the game due to injury, people are putting two and two together. You don't need much of an investigation there.
Joe, but it doesn't make any sense. Like, back in the day, James Harden, we thought for sure he tanked the Game 5 against San Antonio. I mean, he just didn't do anything. He must have had San Antonio.
Game 6, right?
Game
the
6.
Elimination,
games,
yeah.
Games. Well, he had another Game 5.
Well, Game 5 was really good until the last, like, 2 minutes of overtime.
Yeah, and then in Game 6, he just didn't do anything. But he makes so much money, Joe. Terry Rozier had a 4-year, $96 million contract. Why would you put that at risk? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you put that at risk?
So that's a great question. And I would say, to defend Harden, we just saw him go MIA again in the playoffs this past year against Denver. Like, that's kind of his thing.
That's what he does.
Yeah, it's not even like it's a suspicious thing.
That's not suspicious. The FBI, they're not looking into James Harden's elimination chains because it's a thing.
Right. And yeah, they're like, there's no suspicious betting patterns here. It's just a really important game, so don't expect much from them. That's what we've seen forever. Well, okay, so you talk about Rozier, and this is a natural thought, right? Like, this is why it'd be so difficult to fix an NFL game, because the guy with the most control is the quarterback. So how are you going to get a guy making $55 million a year to take a dive, right? Maybe, and I'm not suggesting this with the NFL, and I'm not even suggesting it with Rozier. We look at the amount of money for their contract, and we just think they're financially set. But Latrell Sprewell, I think it was, said it famously, yeah, we might make a lot, but we also spend a lot. And a lot of these guys look at $96 million. They don't account for taxes. They don't account for overhead on the third home and the fourth home. I think it was Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver who started his career in Denver, talked about that once, where he needed that deal with Miami to be front-loaded to pay off all these homes he had purchased because he didn't realize how much all of it was costing him. Like, these guys can get into trouble. They can also get themselves caught up in some suspicious stuff that they don't want getting out there, which then could lead to them trying to do a favor to get him out of a jam. I mean, think about all this stuff that was going on with Chauncey Billups. It just seems like it was a poker game, right? Oh, I'm just in on a fixed poker game. But then you're clearly working with the mafia in some way, shape, or form. Like, you have relationships with these guys. So am I to believe they're not asking you questions about games? and you're not giving information about games, guys can get tied up in some stuff that might not necessarily be financial, where they find themselves on the hook for owing a favor or something like that.
Yeah,
Joe Fortenbaugh joins us from ESPN, and ESPN. And this is, you know, it's really good points. And I think that, look, because the other thing, Joe, because the betting is so regulated, because it is so monitored, any unusual betting patterns, and especially and the algorithms, this doesn't even take AI. This has been going on. Arizona State was flagged years ago, the Headache Smith, as you mentioned, because it was unusual betting patterns. The only way you can get away with this is if you're a party of one and you're just making college players who are not telling their friends and telling their boys so they can make money. It's the only way they could get away with it, and it would have to be smaller wagers. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see circles, meaning limited wagering available or action. You can only bet a certain amount. I think circles are going to be coming up on pretty much all prop bets, something that is much, much smaller, where it will dissuade the big players from playing. But I do. I think you're always going to have, look, for college players, maybe with revenue share, and they're making more money than ever before now. However, you know, I think with college players, you still have that opportunity to make $1,000 in a game, $700, $1,500 with your wagers. I could still see this being an issue in the collegiate sense. I think less and less we'll see it in pro football because there's just way too much to lose. And you also just can't tell your boys, like, Terry Rozier might have been hooking up his boys. Might say, "Hey, look, I'm going to hook you up. You know, my money's good, but I'm going to hook you up here. Why don't you just get your money this way?"
Somebody's got to place the bet, and whoever that is going to.
Well, but they sold for $100,000. I read the report. They sold the information to, you know, to basically mob guys. They sold it for $100,000. Like, yeah. Greed is going to eventually get you in this because it's monitored too heavily.
Without question. And you're right. I think one of the smartest moves would be to just eliminate the prop market for collegiate sports. Like, I like to bet and I like to find angles on that stuff, but I could totally understand if it comes to community standards and integrity, if you just get away with that market, because you're going to find college kids who, okay, you might have an NIL deal for $500,000. That's fantastic. Do you have all of that right now? Is that tax-free? Has that set you up? Or if another 25K is coming your way, are you going to be willing to take it? Like, that's what they don't understand. They just think they're one guy. No one's going to pay attention. But the betting patterns are what's going to get you. If an inordinate amount of money is coming in on your unders relative to what normally comes in, that's going to be a red flag. It's only going to take one game to get you. Go to the UFC event that just happened this past weekend, right? Two fighters. So here, but before this fight even takes place, you already have red flags going off everywhere because massive money is coming in on the favorite and the price is crashing. Now, that's not rare. I'm going to be completely honest. That's not rare. I've seen this happen plenty of times. Fighters tend to weigh in on Fridays, and a lot of times word could get out that a guy's having a very difficult weight cut, or word could get out that a guy's battling an injury that's not previously disclosed, and you can see prices crash. That's just getting ahead of the information. That's been part of the game for a long time. But this price came crashing down big time to the point where you're like, all right, this is more than just a difficult weight cut or a line that wasn't priced properly from the beginning. Something's going on here. If it's an injury, so be it, but it feels like it's something more. And then on top of it, and this is the one that really gives it away, all the money that was pouring in on a first-round stoppage.
Yeah.
So we're not just betting against the fighter. We're betting when the fight is going to end. And, oh, guess what? The guy in question, the guy who was a heavy favorite, who saw all the money coming against him, especially in the first round, ends up tapping out at the end of the first round.
And a guy who knows how to defend, and by the way, a guy who is good on the ground, was making right. these unbelievably rookie mistakes on defending the submission. Actually, the guy who won trains over at my son's gym. He trains
oh, really?
Locally. Yeah, the guy who won is not he's not being investigated. But he trains over at Gracie Baja where my son trains. He goes, "Yeah, I can't wait to see him fight." And my son comes running in and he goes, "Dad, he just won by submission, but already they're saying the betting was suspicious and you should have seen how bad the defense was from the favorite. He wasn't like, this is not going to be end up going well." That's a 17-year-old telling me that. You don't think the UFC is going to figure out that something fishy was going on there?
That was so popular. I'm a big UFC guy. I love watching it, love betting it. So I follow a lot of people on social media who are connected to UFC, who talk about it, all that stuff. comment on it, bet on it. On a Saturday during the college football season, those voices get drowned out a little bit because everyone's watching Penn State, Ohio State, or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But those voices are still there. And people were on to that 2 hours before that fight even went off. Like, that was already a story. And then the fight goes off, and you see how it plays out. And immediately, this thing's just going to steamroll. Oh, by the way, the guy gets kicked out of the UFC essentially the next day.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. You know, we used to have a certain tolerance for this in boxing because you would just fix the judges. I'll never forget this one because I was at the fight. Floyd Mayweather, Canelo Alvarez. Like, how brazen do you need to be to try to fix a fight like that? Because it's the one everyone's watching. But sure enough, Floyd Mayweather must have won. If I'm being conservative, he won 10 of 12 rounds. That's me being conservative. You could probably make the case he won 11 or 12 rounds. And sure enough, there's one judge who comes out of nowhere to rule it a draw. A draw. So then it ends up being two judges for Mayweather, one judge draw. The exact outcome is a majority decision win, which you're thinking to yourself, okay, whatever, right fighter won, no one's paying attention. Then you realize how much money was bet on the specific outcome of majority decision, which ends up being obviously a red flag. Now, that judge in question has had a lot that has gone against her in the past, and I'm not going to dive into all that now, but that's how you used to corrupt this sort of thing. Yeah. It's hard to get someone who's going to make $45 million for a fight to take a dive, but you can get a judge to go a certain way, and hopefully it flies under the radar.
You get an official, too. A referee, like, that's the real concern.
Well, look at Olympic figure skating.
Oh, well, that's always been crooked for...
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, this is what killed boxing. This is what... It's funny that you mentioned this, Joe, because I grew up a monster boxing fan, and then I was a monster UFC. Went to my first UFC in 2001 when Zuffa first purchased it from the old group. And you know, one of the reasons I loved the UFC was I always knew that it was on the level. And with boxing, you're right. I remember the Lennox Lewis fight versus Riddick Bowe, and it's just... It got to be where boxing killed itself for a couple reasons. Number one, multiple promoters were just basically not allowing the best fighters to fight. But number two, you didn't know if the fights were on the level. You didn't know if the judges, not the fights. No. You didn't know if the judges were on the level. I didn't have to worry about that with UFC. UFC, that's the last thing they want to happen. I get lectured all the time from the NFL. Not me, but I mean, NFL employees, we get lectured about it. They don't want the public to think that their games are rigged. Enough people already think the NFL is rigged, which I think is hilarious, but it's the worst thing you can have in your sport is people say, no, this is not on the level. This is predetermined.
Yep.
Joe, by the way, Joe, where are you getting your clothes, by the way? Joe, if you have never seen Joe, number one, you used to have the sweetest mustache, and it's gone. Number two,
That's a Survivor mustache. I grow that every summer when I'm on vacation because you can't grow it while you're on TV
right.
Because you're going to look very creepy.
That's
so
true.
So I go away on vacation, I grow the mustache in, and then I shave it we shave it on TV when my Survivor pick loses.
Oh,
thank
okay.
you very much, Buffalo against New England this year.
Yeah, yeah. But then your clothing, like, you have really stepped it up over the years. You've got, please tell me you have a clothing deal with somebody.
I do not. No, your boy's open for business if anyone wants to get involved. I used to, I had a good friend of mine. He works, he's a Fox broadcaster, Guy Haberman. He worked in the Bay Area with me. We met each other on the local radio station there. Guy has a great tailor in San Francisco. So he introduced me. I started getting stuff there. Then I moved to Las Vegas. I knew a couple lawyers there who introduced me to a guy. But now I'm in Connecticut and I got nobody. And I've been trying to hit up Stephen A. But Stephen A. doesn't necessarily have a tailor. He just goes, he looks at me, he goes, everything is Brioni or Tom Ford. And, like, wow. I didn't need to hear anything else. I can't afford that. I'm out.
No, and you could have his pink suit from last night, though, if you need it. Listen, I've never noticed what Joe is wearing because he's sitting next to Aaron, and I just can't notice. It's hard to look away. That's for sure.
Yeah, difficult situation. I can understand that difficult situation.
Yeah,
you're making the smart call. If I may say, you're making the smart call.
Hey, Joe, the Texans unders. The Texans unders continue this year.
Should we investigate them?
Well, so here's where it is with the Texans, right? Like, you have all these low scoring games. You have all these unders, Lance. You know this as well as anybody. Like, eventually, that word gets out. Everybody realizes that. books continue to adjust.
No process.
Then you got to zig when everybody else is zagging, right? Like when everyone's about to go ahead and jump on those unders, that's where we start to find value in the overs. That's how you have to play this game. Greenberg is starting to realize this on Get Up. When everybody picks Dallas, he picks Arizona. And he goes, this is a hell of a system. And I go, yeah, there's actually something to that. It's a little bit more than what you're saying. But, like, you know, everyone liked Indianapolis this past weekend. Mike Tomlin, home dog, catching 3.5, the north of the key number. You got to find these spots. You got to find it where it all lines up. And generally, a good rule of thumb, go against the consensus opinion.
Yeah. Well,
if everyone in the world is telling you a game's going to go a certain way, start trying to build the case for it to go the other way.
Yeah, Joe, good luck. Feeling good about Davis. Davis Mills against any defense with that offensive line and then the Texans defense. I don't know. I don't know that I could actually put it down.
They
and
priced
say,
that
well,
in,
that's got to be an over.
Well, hold on. They priced that in, though, so your number is going to reflect that. They
yeah, but also, Joe, the lowest under-over on the board, you go under, and the highest under-over on the board, you go over, right?
That's a hell of a way to look at it. Sure. I love it how we went from fixing games to whatever the highest total is, just give me the over.
Right. Right. Well, because people get scared of that high over and they get scared of the low under when there's a reason that it's the lowest under.
Yeah, in those scenarios, I'm probably more inclined to go under on the low total than I am over. Like last night, I was on the under and everyone thought I was crazy. And you're sitting there, and it's like, this is a monster number. It's like 54 points. But you rarely see this, and when you do, it goes under. You need so many things to go right to clear 54 points in the NFL. And when you have two really bad run defenses, if both offenses can get the running game going, they can keep that clock moving, and they can drain it pretty fast, which is, to an extent, a little bit of what happened last night outside of Dallas completely failing to show up.
Yep. That's Joe Fortenbaugh, ESPN Bet Live. And a good show, really good show. You guys delve deep and do a great job. It's awesome to watch. We appreciate you, Joe. Great. Congratulations on your success with ESPN, and we hope to talk to you again.
Thanks, boys. It's always my pleasure. I appreciate you reaching out, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with the great people of Houston. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. There's Joe Fortenbaugh right here on ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5.
So much better than Hatchet Man, who denigrates us on a constant
basis. Well, Hatchet Man is different a little bit.
Just always has negative stuff to say constantly.
I know, and he just doesn't seem.
And Joe loves the great people of Houston.
He doesn't
see that.
Well, but Hatchet Man loves Kago. He does love Kago.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Well,
I love Ownwell.
Well, Joe's on ESPN, right?
Yeah. And so if you want to continue to watch Joe, what you might want to do if you're a YouTube customer is go ahead and go to keepmynetworks.com. That's where you can find the great Joe Fortenbaugh, and you're not going to be able to see him on Get Up or any of the shows. Monday Night Football, college basketball, NBA, it's all available or unavailable to you depending on whether or not you subscribe to YouTube TV. If you do and you want to back, go to keepmynetworks.com for ESPN.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Ownwell right now. Listen, your tax bill for your house is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's ridiculous. The local tax guys are just, it's just ridiculous. They just charge, I don't know how they come up with a number that this is what your house is worth. Where do you get that? Where did you get that, government? Where in the hell did you come up with that number for my house? Because I had to fight it. Lance has fought it with Ownwell, and it couldn't have been easier. You go to Ownwell.com. It takes literally 3 minutes to sign up. You don't do a thing after that. They do everything. They have the technology. They have the expertise in the market. Last year, 60,000 Houston homeowners switched to Ownwell and received, on average, better reductions than similar agents. Over $1,100 per on average. That's a lot, people. That's a lot for you to not pay. And by the way, it compounds. If you let it go this year, they're going to jump it up again next year. All of a sudden, you're paying for a house that's not even close to what they think it's worth. So stop overpaying. Start saving with Ownwell. Sign up in 3 minutes at Ownwell.com/Texas. That's Ownwell.com/Texas.